Good morning. If you've been around a while, you know that I love maps. I used to collect all the state, like the DOT maps of the state highway systems. But in case you haven't noticed in the last few years, there aren't paper maps around anymore. In fact, I think the Iowa DOT is no longer going to produce. Yeah. If you're like me, it's a real, I've grieved, I've mourned, I've cried for days when I heard that news.
Nancy, too. We just drove to Ohio this weekend. She goes, I wish I had an atlas. I can't work this
real
darn
hand.
Google Maps.
Anyway, now they do it on this thing called a phone. And I've heard it works well. But I was cleaning out my office the other day. I was rearranging my office. And I threw out all my old paper maps. It was a day of, I'm sorry, please don't hate me for it. But whether it's on paper or on the phone, we need maps, and not just to travel in a geographical sense, but to travel in life. And God has, to carry that illustration out a little bit, and it might not be the best metaphor, but God has given us a map for life. And the map is His scriptures. And we might argue, well, it's not that specific. It doesn't really tell me to turn left or right. And that might be true. There might be things, you're facing things in a certain day. You don't know whether to choose A or B. But God has given us a map, and it's fairly detailed, fairly explicit on how we ought to live, not just where we ought to go and, you know, things like where you're going to work and who should you marry, but how should you live? And that's really what we want to tackle this morning. Matt and I decided to do this together. Rumor has it we're only doing this because we want our coffee. He's got his tea. It's really lame, but he's got tea.
I already had coffee in.
He forgot his coffee. That's how
drinking,
bad it is.
If I were drinking coffee through the course of this whatever this is, a presentation,
You get more amped up.
Progressively more amped up.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So anyway, but rumor has it, well, the rumor's kind of true, but we did just want to do this together. But anyway, we're going to talk about our map specifically. We'll begin in general terms of what does God want for all Christians, but then narrowing that down is how are we as Stonebrook going to kind of walk that journey? And what is our specific map and how we're going to journey this life with God? And because God himself is the true north. If you have a map, north should always be up. If it's not up, north is not up, it's not a real map. But God is true north. He's true north, and that's how we get our bearings. And so hopefully as we talk this morning, it'll help us kind of center us on the Lord and how we're trying to live out that journey as best we know how. And so let's pray. Let's begin in prayer. Lord, we yield our hearts to you this morning. Really, without you and without your scriptures and without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we are completely lost. Mankind, we often think we know what we need to do. We know what we want to do in life, but we're fools if you are not guiding our lives, if you are not our true north. And Lord, I pray this morning, both on the macro scale and what you want for all of your people, as well as how we're trying to live it out here, or trying to do this journey together as a church family, I pray, God, that you would help us to be one. Even if we're just a little off skew in some way, at least we'd be going together and you'll steer us back on course. But I pray that today you would unite us together in heart and soul in what we're trying to do and living out this life as a family. Imperfectly, in a lot of broken ways, but we're a family with a Father, one Father in heaven. And so guide us this morning and guide us into the future as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Matt, if you want to grab your bulletin, there's a brochure in there. We're going to be talking through that, so Matt's going to kick us off here.
Cool. What am I talking about? The brochure?
Sure.
Okay. This is Matt and Brad unscripted, by the way. He has a script and I don't. So this script is melded into my spine, so we're good here. This brochure is something we just got done. Some of the leaders, the ministry leaders, life group leaders, etc., Sunday school leaders, have seen a black and white version of this, sort of the prototype we've been working with this semester. And I want to say, typically we would do this kind of message at the very start of a semester, usually in August, to kick off the sort of the new ministry year. But this fundraiser thing has taken a bit longer to unfold and solidify than we had anticipated, and we're ready to launch that now. So that's why we're doing it at the end of the semester rather than the beginning of the semester. So this isn't really a sermon so much. A sermon would be walking through the scriptures and applying it to our lives and giving the sense and commanding you from the scriptures to do what the scriptures say to do. This is more of a family talk, which is why we're at a table, we're at chairs. We do have the Bible here because we are going to talk about biblical things, so that's important. But this brochure is intended to line out what Stonebrook's ministry is. And the reason we wanted to do that in a brochure form is really cohesiveness as a leadership team. And we're going to get into unity a little bit later. That's one of the pieces. But just to start with here, look at this little seal here with the green band across it. This is actually a graphic that unpacks Stonebrook's mission statement. Who are we and why are we here? And this is nothing new. Actually, this is a packaging of something that we've had for 10, 12 years. How long? I mean, it was actually toward the front of when I was actually even here, when I even joined the church here. So Jesus, Scripture, Family, Community, Character, Evangelism, Service, and the GCC Core, the Great Commission Church's core values. So you see, actually, we have here our mission statement that we exist to love God and all people by walking in the gospel. And that really, everything kind of lives under that umbrella. Brad just got done saying, God is the true north of a map. He's the true north on the compass, so everything is oriented to him. And there's one of my favorite books, by the way, out there is called God is the Gospel by John Piper. And so when I say the gospel, and we say God, and we say Jesus Christ, and we say the gospel, we're talking about very, very similar concepts here. God's character, who he is, and what his plan is for the world are what orients us. So let me be very clear. Biblically speaking, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, says that the mission of the church, every single church that exists, every single real church that exists, has as its mission Jesus' command, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And that's at actually the very top of the interior here. That's what ministry is. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, or from all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This brochure thing is intended to basically summarize that command and how we are tactically working that out through all of our ministries in the church. Does that make sense? That's really what we're after. We're not trying to invent I'll put it this way. As leaders of the church, as pastors of the church, we didn't pretend to go up to some mountaintop and hear from the Lord, Lord, what should we do? And then we come down with this vision that that you have to follow because God told us. But that's not how that works. God does speak to us. He does lead us, even in specifics. But he does that primarily through his word and the way he is working in our hearts and our minds to direct Stonebrook through this. So we have to be able to prove that vision from here. We have to show that it directly ties. And that's kind of what we've done. So really, we're summarizing our mission. Why are we here as a group of people? We are here as a group of people to love God and to love all people by walking in the gospel. Now, that phrase, walking in the gospel, needs all kinds of unpacking, and I'm actually not going to do that today, because teaching you to walk in the gospel is what all of our ministry is about. Everything we do, every day, every gathering, every small group, every Bible study, every ministry gathering ought to be, and if it's not, we have a problem, ought to be about teaching you to walk in the gospel. What does that mean? To walk with the gospel in mind, and on your heart, and we're going to get into some of that a little bit later. And then the little words here, Jesus, Scripture, Family, Community, Character, Evangelism, Service, these are summarizing the seven pillars of Stonebrook, which we've had around for quite some time. I actually think they're in here somewhere too. Maybe they're not in the bulletin anymore. Did they not make it into the new bulletin? They are there. They're in the back. Okay, sweet. Yes. Fervently devoted to Christ. Thank you, Guang. Biblically minded. Founded on integrity, family-focused, committed to biblical community, socially responsible, evangelistically bold. And we seek to glorify God. This is what we're trying to do as a church. We seek to glorify God through these things by seeing many hundreds of Ames area residents become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and many thousands hear the gospel message. That's the outer ring on this seal. Many hundreds devoted, many thousands hearing the gospel. When we asked ourselves, the leadership team, and we consulted with the SCU leadership over the years, SCU, that's a Stonebrook Community Underground, that's our leadership team, meets once a month on Saturday mornings. Every ministry leader in Stonebrook is supposed to be, is invited to come, and that's kind of where we have an opportunity to be together as a community of church leadership so we can know what's going on in each other's lives and what's going on throughout the church and give announcements in an effective sort of way back and forth and hear feedback on, here's what we're thinking, what do you guys think? And that's been extremely valuable as we've done that. So as we've counseled together on that, this is when we ask the question, what should Stonebrook's ministry be? Should we seek as a church to disciple a couple dozen people? You know, let's just focus in on a couple dozen people. As a church, a couple dozen people, let's make them fully devoted followers of Jesus. And we thought, well, we already have 300 people sitting here every Sunday morning. Let's expand that effect and make many hundreds fully devoted followers of Jesus over the course of the next 5, 10, 15 years. Many hundreds. We've got a few hundred now. Let's expand that to many hundreds. Why would we do that? Is that just some like prideful, arrogant sort of, we want a big platform kind of ministry? Well, no, it's faithfulness with this ministry we've been giving of going and making disciples of all the nations ought to result in expansion, right? That it ought to, unless we're working in an incredibly closed, hardened sort of place that I don't believe Ames, Iowa actually is, okay? Many hundreds devoted and many thousands hearing in the process of spreading that message. Think of it this way. If each one of you in this room over the course of the next 10 years, just one person per year, you were able to present the gospel message to, just one person every year, everyone in this room, be 3,000 people having heard. 3,000. That's a lot of people. So we wanted to gear it at many thousands. Do we want a couple thousand hearing? Let's just kind of take it as it comes. Or do we want many thousands hearing? Well, faithfulness with ministry that Christ has given us because of what he's done for us in Jesus and what he asks us to go do, many thousands hearing. So that's it. And it's all, by the way, this year. So how does that work out? How do we do that this year? And then I'll kick it back over to Brad here. This green stripe, renewal in heart, body, and mind. Or this next paragraph up, prayer-fueled renewal. 2017 and 2018, this ministry year, we are focusing on and praying for and speaking to your life group leaders primarily right now, but we're expanding that out to the whole church now. We want to focus on a season of renewal, renewed expectation. The thing we want to focus on in ministry is, am I expecting that God is going to work in my ministry? He's going to work through me in my life and through my life group and as we impact people and through The Rock, as we impact people through ISM, as we impact people through the youth group, as we impact the people we come into contact with. And this section is kind of everybody else, like the real people, like normal people. As we interact throughout the world and in our small groups, are we expecting that God's going to do something? Or are we just kind of like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm a Christian. I'm not really sure anything's going to happen. So I'm just going to, maybe I'll take the opportunity. Maybe I won't. I don't even know. Maybe nothing will happen. Or is our heart every morning being refreshed with, you know what? God might work today. God might be pleased to do something when I open my mouth today to talk to my neighbor, my wife, my husband, my friend, my children. Am I expecting God to work? Because at the end of the day, we could have all these wonderful plans and tactics and rubrics like, hey, here's a 5-point gospel presentation. I want you to go share it with 10 people this year. That could be our mission, but that's not what we're after primarily. We want to probably get there for some of you at some point, but we want to start with this heart of, are we expecting God to do something on Sunday morning? Am I coming here this morning? Am I coming to Sunday morning excited that something might happen this morning? I might hear something from the Lord. Somebody new might show up that I might get to meet that's going to result in a decade-long relationship. Or am I just kind of going through the motions? That's what we're after. That renewed heart.
If I could add to that, my most frequent prayer every morning has been that. Just to have that expectation, to begin every morning, Lord, what could you do today? Because on my own strength, not much is going to happen, but what if God intervened in the smallest of details, the most mundane things of life, even having my morning Bible reading. What could God do? What could God do in a conversation I'm going to have with someone having coffee at 7 a.m.? What could God do over a mealtime with my wife? What could God do in our life group on Monday night? Or what about Sunday morning? Or everything. If you go to work, what could God do that day? Not necessarily the miraculous and these stupendous things that everyone's going to be. Just you see that God is at work every day. And that's been my prayer most mornings for the last 4 months. And it's really remarkable, the answer to prayers that I've seen. At the end of the day, if I remember at the end of the day to think about it, I'll think, this was a good day. God really blessed. There was wisdom given here. There was a great conversation here. This person did this. And boy, our life group was a fantastic time. I feel like we made disciples tonight at life group. And Sunday morning last week, man, that was so good. God has been answering my prayers, and I know some of you have joined me in that. That's really what we're after, is just every day. It's so simple. But it's our theme, a renewed expectation in faith. God, do something here. Before you came this morning, I hope you prayed, God, would you do something with the several hundred of us that are here? Would you minister to us? Could we glorify you in greater ways? Would we know you better? Would we love you a little bit more when we left? And so that's really the spirit behind it all. It's nothing magical. It's just real basic faith stuff. And so it's been so inspiring for me to have that theme running through my head. And I hope you join with me for the next 8 months until this ministry year is over, that we'd be praying consistently day after day for God to work.
Good. You know, this began at the beginning of the year. This theme of renewal kind of started actually in January-ish. We were having conversations as an elder team about tactics, really, about goals, numeric goals, and you're kind of the flavor of numeric goals and strategies to reach those goals was not sitting right. And Guang said in one of our elders' meetings, he said, guys, it's actually a lot simpler. It starts with the heart. If our hearts aren't stirred up to do this work, nothing's going to happen. It was something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And we all went, oh, yeah, right, that. And shortly thereafter, around the same time, I was doing my morning Bible reading, and I was doing Bible in 90 days. I start the year with that every year just to kind of get the whole thing in my head loaded up for the year, because of the way my mind works. That's what I do. And I read my 15 chapters, and I went, yes, 15 chapters, check. and then I, wait, what did I actually just read? And I couldn't, well, it was First Chronicles or whatever it was. But what did I read? And should I be checking these boxes if I'm not remembering anything? And so I just prayed, simple prayer. Lord, would you show me something in here? And I went back and redid it. And it was like you've had that experience where kind of the page starts glowing a little bit. It's not really what's happening, but suddenly you're paying attention. Right. And I came away from that reading with, well, God is faithful to his promises. And that was like, that framed my day. God is faithful to the things that he promises. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, I had a conversation with a brother, with a meeting for lunch, and he said, I feel like I'm not really getting much out of my Bible reading. And just like, why do I do this? I know the contents here, and why should I do this? And I said, well, try this. And actually, I never followed up with him. I should ask him, how did that go? But try this prayer. Lord, would you show me something today? And yeah, you've read it all before. That's not the point. But would you show me something today? And so that kind of, there were little sparks of that starting to go around in my world. That happened with a couple other conversations that happened. Brad has a few stories like that. And so we thought, this is the theme for the year. Prayer-fueled expectation that God's going to do something.
So. Amen. You want to talk about unity?
Yeah, I do. So unity. So our theme of renewal really has four parts to it. Expectation that God's going to work in our ministry. And this renewal theme carries into four areas, and the first of those areas is unity, renewal of unity in the church. And over the last couple of years, there's been some situations that have brought to our attention, how did I put that? Through various failures in ministry, through various missteps or neglect or lots of different things, in different areas and in different relationships, there was just sort of an erosion of trust, really, at the end of the day, an erosion of confidence in one another, really, and I notice it most intensely, especially at the eldership level. We loved each other. There was peace. There wasn't any outright fights or anything like that. But when I read this business book, and it kind of put the finger on the problem, and it says trust issues at the leadership level result in fractured, tectonic problems at the organizational level. And I went, that's exactly what's happening in Stonebrook. And I wasn't the only one that came to that conclusion. But just several instances and several conversations with some of you out in the congregation, boy, we've been kind of neglectful in relationship and in unity in certain areas. It's just we've been kind of in maintenance mode and kind of everything's cool mode and not really intentional in cultivating fellowship and cultivating relationship. And so just one practical outworking of that theme for this year is starting at the elder team level in May. We have our annual planning time, 2 days, all day. It's really exhausting. But we spent, we spent 3 hours, as a team, not really talking tactics or reviewing metrics or anything like that, or even thinking about the coming year, but we spent 3 hours going, seven men in the upper room, and we did this little exercise. Okay, one person get in a circle, so that's really intimidating, and walk around and look each other in the face. And as I look you in the face, if there's anything that comes up that I need to confess or rebuke or say, I have to do it. Kind of very kind of a man retreat sort of thing to do. If we were wearing horned helmets or something with a campfire, it would have been better. But we did that, and it took a long time, and there were tears. seven grown men, most of us fairly introverted, fairly stoic kind of dudes. Paul, me, and Brad, crying. crying. What was going on in that room. And then we did that, and it was amazing. And then we went around the room with, okay, now brother gets in the middle, and it's his turn to be in the middle, and we all heap affirmation on him, the things we appreciate and things we love about him. And boy, that was powerful. And we wasted 4 hours of our annual planning retreat doing that, and it was the most productive planning retreat we've ever had. So focus on relational restoration. And there's issues going on in the church. By the way, we're a group of people. And we sin against each other. That's kind of part of the package right now. But what we're focusing on is being intentional in kind of pursuing those fractured relationships. And we're trying to make that a theme and putting it on a bulleted list just to make sure we're thinking about it. Because I don't think about those things. The way my personality is wired, I tend not to. I'm not a very affirmational kind of guy.
Can I share out of Ephesians 4?
Yeah,
Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Really, I'd like to take time to go through the entire chapter, but just focusing on a couple of verses. Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you've been called to. So walk in a manner worthy of God, a manner that God deserves. And one of the ways he says to do that is to be diligent to maintain, it's a key word, to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There aren't many weeks that go by that I don't think about that verse. And he says, be diligent or to make every effort to maintain, to keep, to preserve, to hold on to the unity of the Spirit. What that says is you have unity. If you are a Jesus follower, there is a oneness. We have one Father. He goes on and talks about we have one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. There's one body of Christ. There is a unity. The only thing happens is we break that down because we sin, you sin. It happens in your marriage, it happens with your roommates, it happens with your extended family, it happens at the workplace. We bust it apart. And so Paul says you've got to make effort, and that's what we've been trying to do really for the last year or more, is upping our game and being diligent to do that. And it's hard work. It takes humility. It takes faith. It takes listening to one another. One example was we were in a pastor's meeting. I think it was at the beginning of the semester. We had some ambitious goals, and we laid them all out. And one of the pastors said, I think we're trying to do too much. And in my heart, my immediate reaction was, no.
And all the rest of us, too.
And I found out later, everyone else thought that way, too. But we listened. Fortunately, God, we just kept our lips shut. We asked some questions. About 15 minutes later, we're all going,
He's right.
He's right. He's right, but we listen, and it took effort. And that's just an example. You're all going to experience those things in your own life group. There's going to be tensions in your life group. There's going to be things, sin in our lives, and Satan's going to try to break apart our unity. But Paul says, make every effort. It's going to take work. Yeah. You might be offended at me right now or someone else in this room. It's going to take some work to maintain that unity. You have to do it. And that's really our call. It's just a renewed effort for all of us. And I think overall we have a good unity, but it's kind of like I thought of what Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think. He's talking to them about loving one another more. And he says, indeed, you do love one another, but I'd urge you, love even more. And I feel that way in this area. We've got a good unity here, but I think Paul would say, yeah, but be more united. Go higher. Make better effort at it. And so that's really one of our ambitions out of this renewal is unity.
And we got a ways to go. In some of the specific situations, we mm-hmm. still have a ways to go. And so, you know, some of them are, hey, great, we were able to flip a switch and just decide to be unified. Some of it, it's just been years of erosion, so there's years of building probably left to do. But it's a focus, and we wanted to major on that because this whole this unity theme frames the rest of everything we're doing, including the fundraiser. So we're getting there. By the way, we wanted to start there. But
yep. Yeah. Then our second part of the renewal. So it's unity. The second part is expectation that we've already talked about. Is that daily, individually, in your family, with your roommates, as a church, as a life group, that we would just have this expectant heart. God, work here. I'm flawed, I'm broken, I don't know what I'm doing, but God, would you work? And I often think of Jonathan, if you've read 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 14. The Philistines, they're trying to decimate the Israelites, and Jonathan, everyone else is terrified. And Israelites, they don't even have weapons, if I remember right. I think there's only like two weapons in the whole army. The Philistines had confiscated them all. But Jonathan and this young man who's his armor bearer, they decide to climb this cliff. And, you know, it's really a stupid plan, honestly, if you think about it. Go to war college, they would never tell you to do this. Two guys war climbing college. A cliff to attack an army, really dumb plan, don't do it. But they do this. But Jonathan says, perhaps the Lord will do something here. Perhaps the Lord will work on our behalf. And this armor bearer said, go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul. I mean, stupid plan, but if God's in it, it's not so stupid, is it? And I feel like that is with us. Like, what are we doing? We're going against this mountain. You know, we're climbing a mountain. It's really a dumb plan, but what if God was here and working? What could he do? And that's really all we're after here. And then the third area is, you know, I'm talking about planting church.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it a little bit already. Paul mm-hmm. gave the specific outworking, but really this stems from a desire to renew our vision as a church to plant churches. This has been the history of our church. It's been the DNA of our church. A few Sundays back, we put up the church planting chart. Is that right? Or was that at a different meeting? Anyway, I'm sorry. The family tree of churches that have been planted from Stoneburg. And frankly, the last church we planted was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now it'll be 9 years ago when we launch. And then the one before that was seven or eight years before that. And in our minds and in our hearts, we kind of had this, well, every 4 years, you know, kind of rhythm that we thought we're a church that plants churches pretty frequently. But if you actually look back at our history, what we actually have been doing, that's not been the case. And there is a desire, by the way, we're planting this winter and spring, kind of it's now speeding up to this winter time frame, but we actually do want to start aiming at 2022, 4 years down the road, which gives us a set of rails to run on then. We need to start planning. We need to be at this phase in the planning by this point to actually be even identifying who's going to do the planting, where are we going to go, how is that going to be resourced? Do we have the resources to do that or not? But that's a conversation that needs to be ongoing. So we put that up as one of our metrics of more intentionality in this church planting thing, rather than just this stated intention that we want to be a church planting church. And then we go by, oh, wow, man, we haven't planted a church in 8 years. I wonder why that hasn't happened. Well, we haven't actually intended to plant a church. We say we are one thing, but we are not that. It's a matter of integrity. And so we decided, should we just drop the church planting vision? Well, no, we can't do that in good conscience either. So renewal of vision in church planting. So
right.
That's where we're at. And then the practical outworking, of course, is Paul.
Yep.
Paul's been, by the way, been beating that drum ever since I've known him. Luke has a little bit too as well, by the way. And I know that some of you others as well. But Paul's been kind of like, guys, I thought we were going to plant churches. Hello? Since I've known him. And yeah, great. Yeah, we'll plant churches. But we never actually took steps to cultivate it and be intentional about it. So that's that.
And our fourth area for renewal. So we've got unity, our expectation. Third is the planting churches, a renewed vision for that. And the fourth one is our facilities. And if you've been around much, you've heard about this, but we're kind of going public officially this last week and this next couple of weeks. You're going to be hearing a lot more, but our building is now almost 20 years old. We opened in June of 98, so we're 19 and a half years old. And if you probably don't, most of you don't notice, but if you start walking around, you look and think, man, the building's getting a little beat up, a little tired. It's well-loved, well-used. There's people here all the time. That's what we want. But it's not really just a place to hang out. We really want to view this building as like an equipping center. It's a place where we come on Sunday morning, where you come on a Tuesday night with your life group. You've got stuff going on. You've got Bible studies, prayer things. You got ISM here on Friday and Saturday. And it's a place where we can come and get equipped. We could do it in homes, but you have to meet somewhere. But to view this place as an equipping center to help us make disciples. We have to have a place to gather. Even if it's your living room, you have to have a place. And so this isn't just a cool place to come and hang out like you go to a restaurant. This is a place where we want to come and learn about God and serve together for the Lord and with one another and all the things that go with that. And so with that in mind, we just feel like, you know, just to be good stewards at a bare minimum, we just need to fix things that are broken and getting worn out. Like this carpet is, you probably don't even notice it. Most of us, it's just like stuff that hangs in my refrigerator. Some of it's been there for months and I have no idea it's there. And all of a sudden I go, look at all that garbage that's on my refrigerator. Why don't I throw some of that away? It's old announcements, things that they don't even need to be there. It happens that way with our facility. It's getting beat up. It's getting worn out. The carpet on the hallway, if you haven't noticed, there's ripples. You start to trip on it. Anyway, there's some of those things we just want to get fixed and repaired. And honestly, we also just want to make the place look beautiful. That's just the fact. I mean, God's made a beautiful creation. There is nothing wrong with beauty. It's a good thing. God is beautiful. The person of God. We don't think about God. You know, we think about God as male, as he's handsome, but the scriptures, God is beautiful. He's glorious. He's wonderful. And what he makes is beautiful. And of course, we can't make things look as cool as God does. He's the master creator. But we want to make this building look nice, where it's pleasing and pleasant. Some of the things are already underway. Our new projector, which happens to be broken this morning, just saying, doesn't always work. New sound system, new carpet on the stage. The next stage, what we want to do is raise funds to improve the building, increase its function. We're using it differently, like the hospitality room. That's major traffic. We want to put double doors over there, put storage over there to haul the tables in and out so we can set this room up more frequently. Make some changes to the youth room to make it more functional, that not only the youth room, but others. Some possible changes out with a kind of a coffee area out near the foyer. And then just new chairs that are getting pretty beat up and worn. Things like that we just feel like we need to up our game here. Be good stewards. Make this place as pleasing as we can within reason, being good stewards of what God has given to us. And so, anything else you want to say on that?
You know, it's tempting to separate physical facilities from the spiritual work.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we are integrated beings, and God intended it to be that way, and he created that way, and he himself became physical to a physical being, both God and man, to do his work. So there's relationship here. I talked to the leaders last month about there's a psychological dynamic and just a physical functionality dynamic to what we're doing here. If you think of our vision to equip the saints and bless the community, that's what we're doing with this group. If we want to equip hundreds, many hundreds of fully devoted followers of Christ, what sort of facilities does that require? And if we want to do that in a way that cultivates unity among the entire congregation, what do the facilities that facilitate that, facilities that facilitate, by the way, right? What does that require? And so, by the way, a lot of the stuff that you're starting to see kind of sprout up from this vision, which is the new carpet, the new sound system, these are the first seedlings of this renewed vision, the dunk tank, or whatever you call that thing back there.
Baptismal.
The baptismal, thank you, and the parking lot were a result of our selling our Zeke's facility and kind of concentrating toward this vision creating facilities that help us equip many hundreds of fully devoted followers of Christ in a way that is unified. So that's why we're here. We took the capital gains from that, put some of it away, by the way, for savings for future HVAC repairs and things like that, and got that tightened up, and then are also starting to now make these improvements on the facility. It's a very, very physical manifestation of a spiritual goal. So don't separate those two things in your mind. Right. I think even just encouragement for the future, don't separate paying for utilities in this building or paying for repairs in the roof from the spiritual work that God is doing with these facilities. This is a tool. This place is a tool. This table is a tool. This keyboard is a tool. That guitar is a tool for equipping the saints for the work of ministry in the way that God would have us do that, named Zion, in 2018 and beyond. So don't, I just want to encourage you, don't separate physical facility from spiritual work.
Right. Okay. I want to wrap up with three practicals. Anything else before I wrap up? Three practicals. I'd encourage you to write these things down. Three simple things that I'd ask you to consider, to pray about, and just to go after yourself in your own personal life, in your life group, in your home, and when you come on Sunday. One is be diligent. Ephesians 4:3, write that reference down. Be diligent. Make every effort to keep unity. You are one. If you are a Jesus follower and your friend or what feels like your enemy is a Jesus follower, you have a unity in Christ. You have one Father. Be diligent to hold on to that. Do what you can. As far as depends on you, Romans 12 says, live at peace with all men. Keep that unity. Build it up. Grow it up. But put that effort into it. Yeah, become a member if you're not of Stonebrook. Most of you, I think we're doing well overall, but if you're not a member, join with us. Many of you are outstanding examples in all of this, but orient yourself as much as possible to be one with this church family. There's nothing special about us compared to anyone else, but just be one with us. We're a family. Join with us. Make every effort to do that. And that might even be you need to take personal steps to be more apart. Maybe your schedule is just haywire and you're not really able to be one with the people here. God may say, you need to change something. Be diligent. Number two, so number one is be diligent to maintain unity. Number two is pray expectantly. Put it on your calendar, set your alarm on your phone or your watch to remind yourself every day, Lord, I want to pray expectantly for every single thing today that I know of, and even those things I don't know that will happen, things that will just come at me by surprise. Pray expectantly. Walk by faith in this whole process.
I'm taking notes.
You're taking notes too. Okay, good.
Yeah, just saying.
But it's such a great opportunity. God wants to work in our midst. It's not about how great skills or gifts we have. It's about God. God wants to work here with all of our flaws and all of our brokenness. Pray expectantly. And number three, number one, be diligent, keep unity. Number two, pray expectantly. Number three, participate by faith. Participate by faith in what we are doing as a family. By faith, not because you have to, not because you feel guilty, not avoiding it because you're annoyed at someone, but embrace what we're doing. It might not even be the best thing in the world. The study you're going through in your life group might not even be the best study, but join in. Give your heart by faith. God has called us to work together. Participate by faith in things that are coming up in the next few weeks with this renewal campaign concerning the fundraiser for this facility and for the church plant. They're important. We're doing this as a family. Just join in. Not because you have to. Not because I'll feel guilty if I don't. No, by faith. Because you love God and you love these people, do it by faith. And what could God do if we would all join together in faith and with a greater oneness? What could the Lord do in this city, on this campus, and in Rochester and beyond? What could God do with just simple, broken, frail people like us? It's not about us, it's about God. We're not out to make the name of Stonebrook or Living Hope Church in Rochester great. That is not the point. It is to make the name of Jesus great in this city and beyond. So join with us in those three things. Let's pray together. Lord, you have made us a family. You said, by faith in your Son, you have now adopted us as your children. We are children of the living God, loved by him. That alone ought to rock our world. Lord, would you change us and shape us? Would you open our eyes to see you more clearly? Would you encourage us? Would you use us. Like Jonathan climbing a hill, he just got the thing started because he trusted you for a crazy plan. But your name was honored. Your people were protected. Lord, would you use this band of Jesus followers called Stonebrook? We want to love you more and know you better each day. Help us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Kind of one final word.
Quick. Yes.
Just to encourage you guys as a brother, when we're listening to sermons, and I know as a preacher it's weird to say this, this wasn't a sermon again, but it was a sort of a presentation. I just took away from Brad's final comments there something, and I look for something like this in every sermon, but I would summarize the question I ought to be asking myself. This is what I'm going to ask myself. Does my schedule and my prayer life facilitate my unity and participation with this church? Does my schedule and my prayer life facilitate unity and participation with this church? And if it does, what will God be pleased to do with that?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna write that and email out. I'll tell y'all, but I'm excited.